Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
It's been a lot of fun, fellas. We got F for fellas, F for fun, F for football, and F for what the F happened against the Lakers the other night, as we've been talking about the Rockets. By the way, Silent Nick is with us today. He's just with us in spirit more than he is in voice. But we're happy to have him. Okay, good.
Man, you're going to put some respect on Nick's name when you say his name.
Put some respect.
Where did I not respect it?
I'm just messing with you.
Okay. Tyler in Kingwood wants to talk Rockets and the lack of a big man. Tyler, welcome to the show. What do you got, man?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Good, man. You?
Good, man. Good. Yeah, I just wanted to call in real quick. I wasn't surprised they didn't bring Dwight back, but I was shocked when they didn't do anything about the position in the offseason. I thought maybe they'd pull some trades together. I feel like they had an idea of what they wanted to do. Something just totally fell through. And then just when I think, you know, we might make a move, we ended up trading Michael Beasley, you know, for another guard. But, I mean, we're just a team full of guards and, you know, 6'6", 6'8", players, something like that. But I was just wondering if you guys could think of anybody that might be on the block or somebody we could get for some draft picks. And I mean, I don't even think we have many to trade. But because right now, I mean, we're hurting at the position, and I don't even know about the status of Demo. So just chime in and see what you guys had to say.
I talked to Demo the other day, and he said he was still waiting for a legitimate offer. So he's still out there. Unfortunately, the offers are going away because the money's drying up every day. And I'm sure from a Rockets perspective, they hope it all dries up, and they try and get a low-ball offer into Demo so they can try and bring him back.
And the season is just starting.
Yeah, and from a league perspective, no one's going to quit on any of their bigs right now because they all made moves that they think are going to help them in the front court. And one game in, or you know, in some teams' cases, maybe two games in, they're not really ready to jump ship or to say that this experiment or project didn't work out. So it's going to be a little too soon. What you need to be looking at is who's out there free agency wise that are available that might be able to come in and help. Because I'm with you, the Beasley move still makes no sense to me. Because arguably, and you guys can chime in on this, but arguably in the playoffs last year and at the end of the season, Michael Beasley was their third best player.
Yes, he was.
I mean, the fact that he was putting up numbers at the four, he was making shots, he was rebounding. He came in right off the Chinese Basketball League, and he stepped right into a Rockets uniform and showed that he had changed, he had matured, but he could play.
He rejuvenated his career.
And if you're saying that a backup point guard that can't shoot is better than Michael Beasley and what he brought to the table, I would venture to say, just for the first game of the season, if you had Michael Beasley in that lineup the other night, they win that game.
You get points.
Oh, no question.
No question.
Because Ryan Anderson struggled with Randall, but a guy like Beasley not only can get him on one end, but forces him to really run on the other end.
Yes, he does. I mean, and we knew Ryan Anderson was going to struggle with Randall. I mean,
yep.
Big body,
yep.
Low post guy. You know, Anderson doesn't have the, like you say,
but still athletic.
Still athletic. Doesn't have to weight in his pants to handle him down low. And
right.
And then he actually outran Ryan Anderson. So, you know, that's something that I think Michael Beasley could have helped the Rockets.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. He was on a short contract because he only had 1 year left on it. So at the end of the year with Beasley, you know, you take him for what it's worth, and at the end of the year, you make a decision. If you thought he played well, bring him back, and if not, he can walk away.
No doubt.
But is that something that you find surprising as far as all the bad moves the Rockets made? From the coaches to the players to not bringing back in certain players to, you know, it just seems like their MO. It's almost like the team on Kirby, the continued bad mistakes.
Yeah.
And we try to make excuses for them, or we try to not here. You know, we don't try to defend them. We don't make excuses for them.
Right.
But everybody continues to make excuses for something that normally gets people fired.
Yeah.
But yet they still keep on having jobs. They still keep on doing the
same
thing.
And the other question for you guys too is in both cases, but especially in the case of the Rockets is, when does the luster wear off of one or two good moves for you to look at the body of work and say, overall, those one or two good moves are not as good as all the bad moves that ended up costing us at a time when we were in position to win? Because we all know that window's only open for a short amount of time. So you need to take advantage of it when it's open. And a lot of times, because you were not willing to put the cap in jeopardy for the following season or for the future. You weren't going to mortgage the farm and give away draft picks and other things. You didn't want to take a contract on that was going to stick onto your cap for the future. that prevented you from getting a player or two that might have put you over the top, especially that year 2 years ago when you were in the Western Conference Finals. And let's be honest, they didn't deserve to be there in terms of the way everything had played out up until Game 6 of the Clipper game. But after they did what they did, you said, hey, they're the hot team. They're rolling. And that team at the start of the year was good enough to compete with anybody in the West. You just didn't know how it was going to shake out. That's when you could have loaded up. So the question I have for you guys is, and you guys are objective because you're just sitting there watching it like everybody else, at what point do you say, yeah, you made a couple good moves? I think James Harden fell into their lap, quite honestly.
Yeah,
Anybody that could have made an offer at Oklahoma City was going to be considered when they realized they weren't going to be able to re-sign
him. Exactly. But it comes up as a good move. So,
right.
But my thing is, as a general manager, you have to own up to your bad moves also.
Correct.
And don't run and hide from your bad moves.
Yeah.
Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, you got to step up and say, hey, this was a bad move. Guess what I got to do? I got to correct it. I got to get rid of the bad move and bring in another good move.
Players
so
don't
people
like
can respect
to,
that.
You guys can respect this too. Players don't like to be considered assets.
But I'm willing to bet that in basketball, especially over there, we call it the Big Tundra.
Yep.
They use them as assets. They use them as pawns in their big game of chess. They say, "Well, I signed this guy for about 5 months until I can get rid of him for something bigger and better and bring it over here." And I think that's the cruel, messed up part about the game.
Chandler Parsons, Goran Dragic, those are guys that come to mind when they said, "Look, when the choice is mine, and I get to pick where I go." Do I want to go where they're going to make me feel like I belong, like I found my home?
Chandler Parsons was a bad move. Own up to it. Say it. Because you know he was a big part of that team. Your number one guy didn't want him to leave. So you have to own up to those moves. People will respect you as a general manager.
At the time now, Trevor Ariza, and I said this at the time, Trevor Ariza is going to give you better numbers or similar, almost the exact same numbers for a lot less money. But again, the one thing that we don't factor
the
in...
The leadership Chandler Parsons brings to that
team.
Well,
the locker room.
The leadership on the basketball court also. Trevor Ariza is a silent guy. He doesn't say anything. You don't see a lot of fire from him, even though he plays amazing. But he doesn't show the fire that Chandler Parsons showed.
Well, I would say more so than anything else, a guy like Dragic, who basically was ready to just explode on the scene. And they chose Jeremy Lin over Goran Dragic. And Dragic was a guy too, based on what he had heard, what he had seen, what he had thought, this was going to be his home, and this is where he was going to. But then, right, you look at the other options that came through, and then there was another chance to go get him later on down the line. And he said, "I want to go where I'm considered family, like I'm home,
like I'm
when
wanted.
You sign me and you come out and say, like if you come to me and say." I want you, and I want you for the next 5 years. I'm going to give you this contract. I'm going to make sure that you are a part of our fabric in terms of our organization. That's easy for him to believe. Now, if that same thing is said by some place where you've already had a bad experience, I'm pretty sure he's going to see it a different way.
No doubt.
And that's a problem. So, Trav, to your point, when you talk about if you're a free agent and you're weighing and you have two teams very similar in terms of what they're offering and what they're trying to do to lure you to town.
Why would I come here?
Or why would I go back?
Here's just as good a question is if I make a deal, do I put a no trade clause in? Then you're stuck with me. Then if I don't feel
leaving, then they're not signing it.
Well,
because they like to be they like that liquidity.
They're in control.
Right.
They want to be in control.
Their assets have to be liquid.
Well, like any married man knows, you can't always be in control.
You made the trade for him, then you let him go. And now your point guard position is
flux.
In flux, or should we say one of the worst positions on your team right now?
Well, aside from the four. Because the four, I mean, you got Ryan Anderson that can shoot, but can he do anything else?
But Ryan Anderson can put the ball in the hole.
True.
I mean, your point guard, I still think the Kyle Lowry thing is, even though, we all know inside what happened, but that's a bad move. You know, you got a Olympian.
Yeah,
All-star.
And Kyle's another guy that he and McHale got into it, and that was the reason why
why you got a general manager.
But when McHale was still here, McHale was willing to say, we can work this out.
Yeah, that's why you got a general manager to come in and say to both sides, hey, we got to make this work for the team. It's not about either one of you guys. So that's what I'm saying. You got when you have to own up to your bad decision making, as well as get the pat on the back for your good decision making.
Yeah, true.
No doubt about it. It's a double-edged sword, and sometimes you got to swallow it, and sometimes you got to wave it in the air.
Whoa,
that's all you can say. Whoa. And with that. We got plenty of show left over, so if you want to join the conversation, 713-780-ESPN. We still got Nick picks coming up because Nick's got games that we got to pick. We also want to talk about games we'll be watching because there's a lot of good games again on the docket as the SEC continues to have teams fall by the wayside trap. And we can talk about that. We know that my Badgers have a big game, and so do the Noles. UNLV, I haven't checked schedule. But we'll break down all that and more and get into what you want to talk about just by you getting in touch with us, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter, here till 4, ESPN 97.5. And take this jam out of town. Put it down for the father of rap.
And if you get cracked, check your trap. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardo, Travis Johnson. Good show today, boys. An FEF Friday, and all we've been doing is covering the gamut. Basketball, football, showing that we've got a lot of aces up our sleeve. We can come to you with football, baseball, basketball, golf, whatever you want to talk about. We can get into it. World Series resumes tonight in Chicago. First World Series game in Wrigley Field in over 100 years. It's going to be a madhouse. Average ticket price, $3,000. We talked about it yesterday, the fact that Murphy's on... the rooftops,
yep,
right there off of Sheffield Avenue.
What about the bar? People lining up at
people at 5:30 in the morning already. This morning, lining up to get into the bars.
What's up with that?
Well, it's happy hour somewhere, right?
Happy hour at 5:30 a.m.
Happy hour somewhere. Right.
Hey, listen,
somewhere in the world.
We're gonna have to start bringing in some liquor to have in the middle and just at least look at it. So we get on at one, we can be like, let's get it started.
It's happy.
I'm pretty sure at Gal Media they don't. Promote those kind of.
Well, things. No, I'm not saying drink on the air. I'm saying at least so we can look at it and say let's get it started, so we can leave when we leave it's available.
What are you, Will I Am now?
Yes, of course.
Let's get it started. Okay. So we covered that kind of stuff, but we do have a big football weekend, and we know that college and pro there's some pretty big games. We talked about the game down on Kirby, a must win in my mind against the Detroit Lions. I don't think you guys would disagree. But everybody waiting with bated breath and anticipation, not because they think the Texans are going to win, but they got to see what's going down because they got to know if their team is done or if there's a chance of salvaging this season. What else is on your guys' agenda in terms of what are you looking for in the NFL? And also, we can start from a Texans perspective, but what are you looking at and looking for when you look at that game on Sunday? And what do you say, if it happens, the Texans should win?
If they have good quarterback play, the Texans just win. That's the easy one.
It sounds like it's so simple that anyone could have said that, but literally that's what it comes down to, right? Their defense isn't that bad. Look, Bouye played his tail off the other night.
Yeah, he did.
He's going to get challenged this week, and I must say I'm looking at the Texans' defense. Can they stop a hot Matthew Stafford?
Okay. So there's something to look for.
That's something to look for. And, you know, the quarterback – duo, it's going to be the quarterback duel is going to be what it is.
Is that where it's won and lost? Stafford against Osweiler?
I think so.
Okay. And you assume Fuller's back?
No, I don't. I mean, I think
he's healthy.
I think he's not only not healthy, but I think he's hit that rookie wall.
He's not. No, I don't think he's hit the rookie wall just yet. I think the hamstring, I think he's not explosive. And when he's not explosive, he doesn't scare anybody because he can't catch. He doesn't catch the ball in a crowd. Contested footballs in a crowd, he doesn't do well at.
Yeah, so that's
I'm being nice by saying
so
that.
That's he doesn't do well. Don't hold back.
No, but and obviously that's a big issue. And again, I'm going to look at the play calling because whether Lamar Miller plays or not, you're going to have some kind of balance. You got to find some kind of sense of a running game.
This would be a big game for Bill O'Brien calling plays because if Lamar Miller doesn't play, you got to lean more on Brock. And, you know, I don't know if the confidence is there. He might say it in the media, but behind closed doors, you know, he's scratching his head where he's going to get some production. And
yeah. I mean, the thing is, too, is that I'm looking for the play calling from the standpoint of I don't want to see any more conservative third and eight. third and six. Don't run the ball in the middle of the line. Well, show me something that gives you a chance to get the
first
down.
You won't have Lamar Miller to run the ball in the line if he doesn't go.
Well, but he believes that his offensive line can block for anybody, evidently, because he made a lot of conservative calls in the first 7 weeks of the season in terms of short yardage or short third down situations, third and less than 10 yards, and he still ran the ball instead of at least play action or open.
I give him this. He had to this past game against Denver.
When
your right tackle is out, and then their defense. So you got to get the ball out fast, or you got to run the ball.
Lamont is actually sending text to Mark Cuban that said, regardless of what you're texting about or tweeting about, just beat the Rockets tonight. So I think that already people are jumping off the bandwagon. They understand what they're dealing with in the pursuit of the 8 spot. JJ in the Woodlands, you are on the hotline, and you want to get on the conversation. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, if you guys remember, we talked last week about Josh Brown. We had a good conversation with you and Travis, but I wanted to get in with Keenan and Travis about the offense this weekend. And I did catch a little bit of what Sean Salisbury was saying earlier today, and it's what I've been thinking about. And look, I played wide receiver quarterback long time ago, not in the NFL, but I played. I don't understand why 30 years ago you're looking for matchups, trying to take advantage of your personnel against the defense. And Keenan, the question is kind of for you, you know, because you're just recently out of the league. Why is it that they're not using Braxton Miller? Why are they not getting into formations on 3rd and 7 that gives them some mismatches and take advantage of that? Because if I'm understanding the game correctly in NFL, it's all about matchups. And Joel just said, you know, how conservative is 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. It's been driving me crazy. You know, a short passing game is no different than a running game. And so I just like to get Keenan and Travis's take on why they're not using Braxton Miller now they have him back, you know, not looking for these matchups, using the short passing game and trying to move the ball. Because Lamar Miller's doing a great job, but it just seems like, Joel said, beyond conservative, and if they do that this weekend, they're not going to win. So I'm going to hang up and listen, but I just wanted to get y'all's take on matchups and using Braxton Miller and trying to get something done. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show.
JJ, you're right. This game is all about matchups, and I'm with you. You know, I've seen them try to get D-Hop on different guys by moving him inside, which the first couple of games he was always outside.
Yeah.
You know, now that you got Braxton Miller back from being injured from the hamstring, I would hope they would use his skill set against the fourth DB or a linebacker, you know, because if you don't have Lamar Miller, you have to use a short passing game, a controlled passing game, because, I mean, you right now, I don't think the Texans can get deep. You know, the guy that they drafted to get deep,
can't run.
He's not 100%. So I hope they use a short passing game to offset the running game so they can mix it up and then take shots off the play action pass, you know, if they can. But I'm with you, JJ. I would love to see Braxton Miller, you know, working some one-on-one option routes. If they're on the same page, as we've heard already, the option route has been a devastating thing for the Texans over there because they're not on the same page. But, you know, I like to see him use Jalen Strong. Jalen Strong is having a solid year this year. I mean, he's a big body that you can match up on guys. And what I am liking is the tight ends. The tight ends are really coming through. So you're going to have to see some more short passing game with the tight ends and those two guys like Jalen Strong and Braxton Miller to offset trying to get the ball to D-Hop.
Trav, you and I were talking about this the other day. Where did Anderson go for 4 weeks? Started out the season hot.
Hot, real
then
hot.
Then all of a sudden, like, presto changeo, poof, he's gone.
Yeah.
And then he got a couple of balls in the Denver game, but it was like, I know Fedorowicz started playing better, but first couple weeks, looked like he could be a difference maker.
He was in witness protection.
Yeah, they were doing a hell of a job.
But here's the thing. I wonder, was it him or was it the fact that not only Fedorowicz, but, I mean, the quarterback, even when they went to two tight sets, when they went to 22 personnel, you ask yourself, are they not even, is he not looking his way or is he, you know, he's staring down at other receivers, so he's forgetting a tight end that might be running up the seam wide open. So, I mean, I got to actually go look at the 22 film to be able to say, this is what happened to him, because I don't want to believe that he played the way he played for the first couple of weeks and then just disappeared like he was either not playing or wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Is it as simple as I think it could be? Or you guys tell me, and Mac, on the offensive side of the ball, you guys ran with the unit every day. But Trav and I, we all talk about it all the time. He stares down receivers. Is it that difficult to fix that?
It's difficult because you get locked in on just one guy, you know, and I've been around some teams where quarterbacks get locked in on one guy and, you know, you got to have another guy to step up and make a play. You know, right now, you know, I think it's a lot of pressure on Brock to get the ball to D-Hop because D-Hop is not near any of the numbers that he's had in the past years here. So I think that's a lot of pressure. You know, a guy comes out for 1,500-yard season and he's, what, barely at 400? He's at 400 right now. And
so essentially then that contract plays into it too because people know his contract's coming up and people know that he's got a choice to make, and as much as they don't want to admit it, it's part of it.
It's not just the contract. He's their best pass catcher, you know. So they're trying to get their best playmaker the ball, but, you know, to get your best playmaker the ball, you may have to give it to Braxton Miller, Jalen Strong, the tight ends, Fedorowicz, Anderson. So I would like to see them spread it out a little bit, a la Detroit, spread it out, make everybody make their plays. And Nick, you're jamming over there.
Hey,
this is a good one. Credit on this one.
We like to spread it out here. We leave no stone unturned. No tune is off the charts. No subject is not worth talking about.
Hey, Brock, you better hit your side piece. That's Braxton Miller.
You need to. That's a way to rotate into this game.
He got
to
hit his side piece. He got to hit Braxton Miller.
And here's what we tell you all along.
And Jalen Strong.
It's not that we're hating ever on your home teams. We're just keeping it real. We're going to be as honest as we possibly can. We're going to break it down like mothers. We're going to make sure that you have every bit of information you can possibly have. And then the rest is up to you. But don't think we're hating on their teams. We're just being honest. That's what we expect in return from you. Call, tweet, text, be a part of the show. Bring it honestly and understand that your take is as good as ours. Maybe ours is better. We'll bring it back. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Orin Juice
Jones.
Hot chocolate cooking on the stove. You know what we're talking about. Nick, you don't maybe, but it's a little bit before your time.
I see you.
He said, man, I should have ran up on y'all.
Walking in the rain.
But I didn't want to get my $600 coat messed up. He said, I just straight flapjack and smack both of you.
That would get you a Josh Brown.
Hey, that definitely. What he
be
talking about.
Be careful now. Hey, so we've got a half hour to go on the show. We're glad you've joined us on an FEF Friday. We've had a good time. We've run the gamut. We've talked about a lot of good things. Hall of Famer Calvin Murphy was part of the mix. And now it's the time of the weekend before Nick gets prepared to do this to other people doing other things. It's time for the ever-popular Nick pick.
No, he always got his cues ready, don't he?
Yeah, a little production value for Nick's segment.
Just my cues.
How about that? Nick! This is the quality portion of the program when you pick Nick's picks, which are five games that you will bring to the table that we will attempt to give our opinions on. There's some good games this weekend.
I will start.
I don't know who UNLV's playing, but.
Wow. You really want to know who UNLV's playing?
I don't really want to know. I just know that.
San Jose State.
Oh, boy. Is that one of the games, Nick?
Absolutely not.
Hey,
Back in the day, that used to be actually a pretty solid game, though.
It was.
Especially back when they had Randall Cunningham. Okay, go ahead. Nick, start with the first game.
Start with Clemson and Florida State.
God, it's
why you couldn't save the best for last?
What's the spread? Because then he was
plus 4.5 for Florida State.
Florida State's getting 4.5.
Florida State at home.
Travis has already guaranteed this one, and that's why I'm going with Clemson. Both ways. Cover the spread and win the game.
Well,
outright.
Sorry for you.
We already know where Travis is going, so I am going with Deshaun Watson. I got to go with Clemson, Trav.
I'm going Florida State. This, the last time Clemson came to our place and they were ranked ahead of us was 1989. I think Clemson was number 10. We were number 16. And I think we won that game. So, you know what? I'm geeked about it. And I think we're going to win this game. You know what? I'm thinking about actually driving down to this game.
Driving?
Yeah, because I want my son to, you know, I'll take a road trip with my boy, man.
Okay.
Good conversation. You have a good conversation with
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Keep it real and keep it fatherly and family. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Nick, you got that one?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Clemson. I think 4.5 is a fair.
Good luck getting out of the building. Okay, next game.
I'm jumping everybody.
Nebraska at Wisconsin.
So he couldn't say the best for last?
Yeah, well, we know who Joel's picking.
Yeah, we all know. What is the spread, by the way?
-9 for Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's giving not?
-9, yeah.
They're giving 9 points. I'll take Wisconsin to win the game. I don't think they're going to win by 9.
Nebraska? I'm not so... I'm sold on Wisconsin because the way they played against Ohio State, I really like.
They've been tested. They
are
all
tough.
Year.
They're a tough team. They play physical, and they're never out of game. So I'm gonna jump on Joel's side and go with the Wisconsin Badgers.
Problem is that since she's out, they've lost two big linebackers this year. But at the same time, their defense has still played well.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go with Wisconsin because like me and Joel talked about off the air. I believe that with Florida State beating Clemson and winning out and beating Florida later on in the year. And Wisconsin beating everybody they need to beat, and eventually beating Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. I believe that we're going to sneak in. We're going to backdoor our way in the number 5 and 6 rankings. Probably all 5, we 6, and then end up playing each other in the bowl game. And I think it'll be a dang good bowl game to watch.
Yeah. So we've all got the Badgers. We got Bucky. Nick, you have.
I have Nebraska. I think
that's why you're not going to get out of the building.
I think this is the one game. This is the third loss for Wisconsin.
This is the first test all year for Nebraska, who hasn't faced a top 10 team. But go ahead.
All right. I want to give two more college games. I'll just give one more. Washington. Well, the Baylor and Texas one, just because.
No, but give the Washington game because it's a good game.
Washington, Utah, +10 for Utah.
Utah covers it at home. I think Utah covers it, but I think Utah gives them all that they want.
I think Utah gives them all they want, but I got to go with UW.
I think UW will pull out the game. I don't think they'll cover the spread, and that's going to be a good game.
I think UW covers the spread. UW is an underrated team.
Now you said you got them locked in the Final Four. So
they're in the Final Four. I mean, that's my thing. I mean, this is a big game for them, but if they play like they played against Stanford, they will run away from Utah.
Okay, there you go. Nick, who you got?
I'll pick Washington. So.
Oh, thank you, Nick. We're on the same side.
On this one, so. All right, that last college football game I was going to give was Baylor at Texas, only because this game, if Texas loses, Charlie Strong's hot seat, I think it's even warmer. It's pretty hot.
He can't get any warmer.
Yeah. Without toasting his butt top.
Yeah, so I just think this is an important game for Texas, or at least for Charlie Strong. So Texas +3.5, they're at home.
Hey, in the words of Trick Daddy, it's hot in hell, but it's snowing downhill. What I mean? At the end of the day, the hot seat going to be hot. I would love to see Texas get some of that Texas magic that they had in the beginning of the year against Notre Dame. And win this game and knock Baylor out of it. I think with all the stuff that's coming out and has came out about what they had going on with Art Briles there, I don't think they should be rewarded with a chance to be a national champion, a chance to represent your school in a big bowl game. I don't think, outside of them going to the Final Four, I don't see anybody inviting them to a bowl game.
Wall Street Journal has an article out now about the Baylor situation. It's not good. But
I would take Texas just simply because I want them to win, because I agree. I don't think Baylor should be there. I really do. I really don't. And I feel bad for the kids that are stuck in the middle of it in a lot of ways, but a lot of the kids are the reason why they're dealing with it.
And not just that, but a lot of them allowed that culture to go on of gang rapes and mistreating women and doing the things you were doing.
Yeah.
So you're part of the problem. Like not
be
saying
part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Not saying that you were the actual people who actually did the dudes, but at the same time you knew what was going on.
No doubt.
Nick.
Go ahead, Nick. I'm gonna pick Texas
because it's
a magic right there.
I'm gonna pick Baylor. I want Texas to win, but I don't think they'll have enough to beat Baylor.
You want to hang with Sean Oakman? No.
I heard the guys that was dirty. Go ahead. I've heard that the coaches that have gotten fired from Texas have all lost to Baylor in their career.
Really?
Their last game last year.
Charlie.
If they lose to Baylor.
How many we got?
All right, we got a couple left in the NFL. We move on to the Chargers-Broncos game. Broncos at home, -4.5.
Broncos Chargers already beat them once.
They beat, exactly.
I'm going my Chargers, man.
What's the spread?
-4.5 for the Broncos at home.
It doesn't matter what the spread is.
I'm taking Denver.
I'm taking Phillip Rivers.
You're a believer?
Oh, I'm a believer. He does so much with so less.
Yep. I mean, or so little.
I'm
going to tell you something right now, boys. Even with all the games they've choked away early in the season, I think the Chargers are a playoff team. I think the Chargers... Well, I'll tell you what. If the Texans aren't worried about the Lions, they better look down at that steamroller coming down the track in a few weeks when the Chargers come here.
They're probably what,
because the Chargers are going to absolutely have a field day, especially if they're dinged up in the secondary.
Safe to say they're the best team below 500, probably?
No doubt. I would agree with that.
No doubt.
All right, moving on to another NFL game this time. Green Bay Packers at Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons -3 at home.
I'm scared to death of this game, gang, because I know that the Packers are starting. I'm scared of the fact that Julio Jones is going to go up against a secondary in which the top three defensive backs for the Packers will probably be inactive.
You see the way I'm looking at you?
Wow.
You are scared of this game?
I said you're
a Packer diehard.
I have said all along with this show, we're going to keep it real. I'm going to be honest.
You keep it real.
So I'm being honest. As much as I want them to win, that worries me. But along like what you and I both said to the caller, it's going to come down to, can the Packers slow down Julio Jones and then the Falcons offense? And can the Falcons defense slow down what looks like a much improved Green Bay offense? It looks like they're starting to get it together.
So who are you picking?
It hurts that it's in Atlanta.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to take the Packers.
I'm going with the Falcons. You know, Joe gave me an entire dissertation on, well, you know,
it sounded phenomenal.
Just say you're going with your Packers.
I said I'm going with Green Bay.
You could have saved us all that.
I was right about the breakdown, though.
Yeah, you were right about
that. But I have to still bet with my heart. Nick, go ahead, break it.
Who you got?
I'm picking the Falcons, man.
Of course you are. 3-1. Boy, Monday could be a good day for me.
All right, next game.
It could be a good day for me.
The 0-7 Browns and the 2-5 Jets. No, I'm just joking.
I was going to say, why the hell would you pick
that? The Browns.
The Browns. I'm going with the Browns, too.
Guess what? Betting on how the World Series goes, they could have the number one team in basketball, the number one team in baseball, and the number one pick in football.
Hey, that's a good year.
That's a great year.
Celebration all around, cooling the gang. What do you got? Last game.
There you have it. I don't have any more.
You don't have the Dallas Philly game?
No, that's a big game too. Let's do that one real quick. I mean, first of all, we've kicked this around quite a bit, but I don't think they're going to make a quarterback change this week. But I honestly think, and I think I said to Travis earlier in the week, I might have said this to you, Mac, but I know it's in Dallas too, but it's a night game. I expect Philly's defense, which I like a lot, to give the Cowboys some fits. Dez is still questionable at best. I understand with Ezekiel. I just think what's the spread in that game, Nick? Nick, right? I got it at
-4 for the Cowboys at home. Yep, okay, that's what I'm looking at.
I think the Eagles make a game of it, no matter what. But if you ask me to pick it right now, I think the Eagles upset the Cowboys on Saturday night. I'm gonna say it.
I gotta go with Dak, man. Dak right now.
Okay.
The hottest thing going, man.
Well, I'm a ride down
Elliott.
I'm
a ride down hand.
That's like a guy hitting all them hard ways. And you say, don't do it no more. I said, no, keep on going because I got all my money up here. I'm riding Dak in that hot hand with hitting them hard ways.
And guess
man.
What? He just got a Porsche to come back.
Yes, he did.
A what?
A Porsche.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Dak and Dez, he coming back this week.
He coming back this week. He got a big time playmaker.
According to Twitter, it's not guaranteed he's coming back at all this week.
Man,
according to Twitter kill off somebody every week.
Man, please. All right, all I'm saying is Nick, who you got?
I'm gonna go with the Cowboys.
Of course you are. Well, there's three games that I could look spectacular on Monday. Go ahead. That's fine. All right, so those are Nick picks.
No,
we
Kirby.
Got those out of the way. What?
No Kirby pick.
Oh, yeah, we got to throw that in there, too.
No
Nick,
Kirby?
I didn't throw it in there. No,
You're scared of it. Wait,
we got
no
time
Kirby?
Before the break?
Yeah, we got to go to break, yeah.
Okay, we'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll break down the Texans game, give you our picks, as well as what we're going to be watching this week, because we pretty much know a lot of it. So we will head to break, and then we will be back to wrap things up and give you our final take on what's going to happen down on Kirby Sunday at noon, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's a Friday, so why not? We jamming.
Get ready for happy hour.
It's happy hour somewhere.
somewhere.
About to be happy hour here.
Hey, you play this too long, man. I'm going to be happy hour with my wife, put the kids to sleep.
So we can finish with Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Joy!
Bringing a little back in love again for the finish. But we have not broken down the game on Kirby.
Nick, what's your pick on this one?
Nick, what are you doing with your home team? Because you got a full weekend.
You got two home teams.
You are going to be at the Rockets game Saturday night. By the way, I haven't seen any press passes. I'm still hopeful that I might get one.
It is Sunday night, I believe.
I thought it was back-to-back, home and home, with Dallas.
Nah.
Trav, you looked at the Rockets schedule. They home Saturday night or Sunday against the Mets?
I know they're playing Sunday night, for sure, because I'm going to go to the Texans game, and then I'm going to leave from the Texans game.
The Rockets play Friday the 28th, and then they get a day off and play Sunday the 30th.
So the home opener is Sunday night. Good luck. There's a lot of people watching a lot of other things, but Nick will be at both. He'll be doing the double dip on Sunday.
And I'll pick both of the home teams.
So you'll take the
Rockets over the Mavs, and you're going to take the Texans over the Lions.
Actually, I won't take the Rockets over the Mavs, but I'll take the Texans.
No,
over
you
the
can't
Lions.
Retreat. You're
backtracking. Okay. Okay.
Right. No.
What is the
your backpedal better than Jim Harbaugh's?
What is the what is the spread on the Lions Texans game? It is 2.5. Texans are giving 2.5 at this point. Over under is 46. Well, I'll tell you what, the over under is very much dependent upon Matthew Stafford. Okay, so Trav, one of the, what is it, four Wees now? Four Wees, five Wees?
What?
Yeah. The Texans and the Lions?
Well, I guess the Texans and the Lions is cool. What do I think? I got to go with the Lions, man. I'm tired of picking the Texans and then they disappoint me.
Right.
And last week when I picked them to lose Denver, everybody tried to crucify me, and then look what happened.
You're right.
I gotta go to the Lions until they prove me wrong. That's like you know, I hate bringing up gambling on here because I know the show after us, the Prevent, they do it. You know what I mean? But here's the thing: if you got a guy who's always screwing up the dice, I'm gonna bet on don't pass. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Right, why I'm gonna just keep betting on don't pass until you beat me.
I'm with you on the fool's gold, Mac. I'll give my pick last, I guess. But
yeah,
I mean,
I'll let you. I'll go. If they are a wounded animal, like we said earlier, they should come out fighting, and they got the home crowd behind.
I was gonna
say,
especially at home.
At home, they got extra incentives to win. But
Matthew, half of them leave again.
But Matthew Stafford is hot as fish grease right now, and I am going to take the Lions.
I am as well. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions. I am no longer a believer in what's going on with the Houston
Texans.
Nick,
it's three against one the other way now.
So, Nick, you write that one down because Monday could be a good day for you. Look, I know the Texans are at home, but I just see two teams going in a different direction. I see the Lions that finally realized that, hey, they're in that thing in the North, and they're playing good football. They're hot right now. And I see a team that's not only ice cold, but they got injuries at the wrong time at the wrong positions if you're with the Houston Texans, especially when you're trying to get right at the quarterback position. I think it's a recipe for disaster.
Two weeks ago, I said it was going to be a slippery slope, and it's starting to be slippery.
So what does that say overall, gang? If people want to get the proper information and the proper perspective,
they come here
in a very entertaining fashion. They should be coming here on a regular basis. And if they're already coming here on a regular basis, they should tell friends.
No question.
Because people need to realize you have choices in this world, and they're not all on the AM dial.
And we got food.
Yeah, and if you – well, they don't. But, I mean, if you choose the FM dial and you realize that you get a strong signal, stereo sound, so that we sound even sexier than we look in person, and we break it down with reality and knowledge, you just have to deal with Nick on the downside, and everything else is roses and rainbows.
A lot of food today. I'm liking the food. Hopefully we have food like this every day.
You got enough to take home, right?
Yeah, there's what, 3-4 boxes in there?
Yeah, so
five boxes?
Did you get a burger?
Not included.
You didn't get a burger, did you?
Did you get a burger?
No, I did not.
See, that's brutal.
They missed out.
Yeah. We'll try and help you out on that, too. So before we wrap it up, guys, what are you going to be watching this weekend? Trav, I know you and I both have night games on Saturday night, so obviously my two slam dunks are the Badgers on Saturday night and the Packers on Sunday afternoon, late game.
Well, my two slam dunks are the 8U Racers. In Siena, it's softball.
Oh, softball.
On Saturday, and then my Florida State Seminoles at night.
Catch us on Twitter Saturday night because I'm sure there's going to be a lot flying based on what's going down on the football field in a couple of games.
They know me. I'm always.
Well, you wear it on your sleeve and on your keyboard. Yeah. I know that.
Oh man, I
Mac,
got
what are you watching this weekend?
Well, the one game that I'm going to really watch is the Pearland Vikings versus the Clear Lake Falcons that I'm coaching for a playoff position.
Tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning. No, yeah, tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. Good luck.
9:30.
Okay.
And then I'm going to watch this Texan-Detroit game. I really want to see which direction the Texans are really going, because this is a big game for them. I mean,
I think it's do or die.
If they lose and they get to 4-4, this division is up in the air.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Nick, what do you got?
I mean, I'm just going to watch the two games I'm actually going to. I mean, I might watch the Houston-UCF game, but...
Y'all going to lose.
To Central Florida?
Oh, you had to stir it up on the way out, didn't you, Chef?
Central Florida.
That's the same thing y'all said about Army. I mean, Navy.
SMU. You said that about SMU.
SMU about SMU as well.
We warned you about Navy.
But no one warned us about SMU.
We didn't talk about it.
We didn't talk about it because you were scared of it.
Well, I mean.
You always scared to talk about your Cougars.
Well, it's not that. It's just that I figured SMU, honestly.
On Saturday night at the club, he's not afraid to talk about his Cougars.
But I think everybody else did.
If you know what I mean.
But.
Trap.
You got to be watching the
pink tune and stink.
Oh, you could have just said the Shocker. You didn't need to go there.
UCF, you should be fine.
Should be. Scott Frost building a nice little team over there.
They lost to Michigan, who should've, they should have lost to in Maryland, right?
Those are the two teams. They should have beat Maryland. They should have beat Maryland.
It was a close game.
But
they didn't.
So, let's
just end it on a good note, boys. It's always been fun. This was a good show. We continue to build it, and you continue to come, and we appreciate that. So we want you to have a great weekend. Want you to watch, get your fill of football. Whoever your favorite team is, good luck to you, and hope you have a good time watching it. We'll be back here on Monday to wrap things up and recap what happened over the course of the weekend. We're going to check on the Texans. We're going to check on our favorite teams and yours, as well as the Rockets with a double dip with the Mavs tonight and Sunday. So we'll have plenty to talk about from an NBA perspective, too. If there's people you want to talk to, give me a tweet and let me know who you think we might be able to get on the show, or who you want to hear from. Might be able to get them too. I know there's a few ex-Rockets coaches that I'm going to get involved in this show pretty quickly, and they're going to have fun doing it. You're going to have fun too. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are loving the show, and we love your support. Hopefully we'll talk to you again on Monday. Until then, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.